Okay, thank you, Ken. Just a quick mic check. I think everybody can hear me. Okay, good. Welcome to everybody here in the sanctuary and those listening on the internet radio and eventually those that might listen to the recording. Thank you all for being here and welcome. Let's get started with our greeting time while Lynn plays some music. I'm going to release the mic for you, Lynn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, riding in love. We are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Well, thank you. I just noticed that Lynn's not playing the music. It's Sweet Dreams, and I'm not sure of your name, Sweet Dreams, but thank you. It's time for our statement of purpose, and this morning I'm going to focus on purification. Therefore, our third core value seems to apply. And our third core value is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And in addition, I'd like to read from What We Are on the website, because I think it applies, always applies. We are dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. All right. So now for the announcements. Number one, the Awakening Together Sanctuary will be open and on its usual schedule through Wednesday of this week. And then the sanctuary will close for the Italy pilgrimage. We will reopen on Sunday, November 4th. So we're going to reopen on Sunday, November 4th. The Awakening Together radio will broadcast 24/7 while the sanctuary is closed. When we reopen on November 4th, we will be on a new reduced schedule. The sanctuary will be open on Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern, and then it will close to give the sanctuary director a rest, and then it will reopen at 5 p.m. Eastern time Sunday evening and remain open until 10 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesdays, the sanctuary will be open from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And then Gentle Healing will be an hour long from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday evenings. So Gentle Healing is changing times and the length of the broadcast. The sanctuary will be open at noon Eastern time on Tuesdays and remain open until 4 p.m. Eastern. Then it will close so the sanctuary director can have a break for a meal. And then the sanctuary reopens at 5:30 Eastern time on Wednesday evenings and remains open until 10 p.m. Eastern. So hopefully you got that, and I'm sure there will be at least one or more emails coming out to remind everybody. As you know, Awakening Together was looking for a new sanctuary director since Ken is retiring in December. And we are happy to announce that we made an offer to Dawn Fernandez, and she has accepted the offer. By the way, I know Dawn, and she's here, and she's Blissful One on the board, so you might want to congratulate her. Dawn will fly from her home in Tampa to Pueblo for training, and during the first week of December, and then she will be our new sanctuary director beginning on Sunday, December 9th. We are very excited about Dawn as our new sanctuary director, and we're deeply grateful for Ken's service over the last 2 years. Thank you, Ken. And lastly, join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern for a one-hour speaker spotlight. Tonight's speaker is Cheryl Kaplan. You know her as our assistant sanctuary director, but starting in November, she will be our retreat house caretaker in La Vida, Colorado. Whether you already know Cheryl well or don't know her at all, please join us tonight as Cheryl shares with us from the heart. Okay, well, that's the end of our announcements. And I'm going to release the mic for our opening song.
Think about it. There must be higher love down in the heart and in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart, oh, look inside of mine. Things look so bad everywhere in this whole world. What's fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be. This high
Okay, well, thank you, Sweet Dreams. That was beautiful. Okay, let's take some time for prayer. This is a time for quiet. This is a time for resting, relaxing, and slowing down. This is a time for putting the world and words aside from focusing on the world and focusing on healing our minds. Healing our minds on the gift that purification brings. To see clearly, to release the false self and know the true self. This is our purpose today and every day. Amen. Okay, now it's time for our reading. And we have Reverend Nikki Dobson reading today. Nikki is on her cell phone here in my office, so I'm going to turn it over to her in a second. She will be reading NTI 2, Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 26, and a little bit of the beginning of chapter 3. So if you would like to follow along, you can get your book out and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for the inspirational reading. Okay, Nikki, I am going to turn it over to you and see if this, how this works.
Thank you, Carl. This is Nikki. Can you hear me okay? You believe that there is something worse than fear beneath your fear, and so you protect your fear by keeping it in storage. But you will not find your release this way. You must go forth in purpose, which is the purpose of know thyself. With only this purpose in mind, you must be willing to release everything that is not the purpose. And fear is not the purpose. For fear's purpose is to hide the answers from you. You fear that to let loose your fear and experience, it is also to come to the foothold of destruction. You believe that to step to that place and not be destroyed, you must hold to the last remaining shred of fear. In other words, you truly believe fear is your salvation. This is why you hold to it. But fear is not your salvation. Fear is the opposite of salvation. To realize this, you must be willing to experience that which you fear and let it go. By experiencing fear and not perishing, you learn that you cannot perish. This understanding, taken to heart, is a true glimpse of who you are. Here is a trustworthy saying, I am all that I am. And that is all I am promised to be. But I cannot limit myself through fear and know all that I am. I choose to release the limits I have chosen for myself, and in their release, I see that I am. Make this the constant prayer of your heart. In purpose, step forth unto your release. The resurrection is within, for it is the light that has never died, but it has been covered by the mask of false belief. The mask is dark and heavy, and it occupies your every thought when you believe heavily in it. This is why it must be let go. It hides that which is you and is within, living now in peace. It hides all this, and it tells you that the truth is not true, and as long as you hide in fear, you believe it. You believe the false, and it is fear that keeps you standing there. It is through fear that you are purified. Do not shy away from fear. It is through fear that you realize your own shine, because it is through experiencing fear and releasing fear that you learn fear has no hold on you. The unlimited cannot be limited by fear. Do not flee that which life is bringing to you when you know that you see it coming. Turn to it in faith, and having faith that it cannot hurt you. It has come only to teach you. Move from the thinking mind to the heart, which is the place from which you may experience the gift without denying it. Experience it in trust. It is only an experience, and it places no limits on you. It is peace that shall carry you through fear. When the fear has dissipated, as a fog within sunlight, you shall see that only peace remains. Remember that the world and its thoughts are only props. Dive directly into the experience. By experiencing it in full, without a wish for salvation, you experience it without dying, and that is salvation. NTI 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's remember that this is a course of looking within in order to heal all that is false within your mind. Let's remember that the world is only a prop made by the mind in order to generate the experience the mind has already decided to have. And in this way, the world is never cause. The mind is cause. The world is a prop, but the mind wrote the play.
Well, thank you, Nikki. That was beautiful. I absolutely love Timothy chapter 2. And of course, this is what we're going to be speaking about, I'm going to be speaking about this morning. And my goal this morning is to introduce a method of purification or mind healing that you may not have run across before, perhaps something a little new. And if you have, well, maybe this will be a good review. Several years ago, more like 7 or 8, I discovered a book by Tom Stone titled Vaporize Your Anxiety. I read it before I started seriously reading and studying A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles is what got me on the path that I'm on now. But Vaporize Your Anxiety at that time did not have a major effect on me, as I really didn't see the value in it for me, because I didn't understand the value of healing my own mind. I read it because I thought perhaps I could help other people heal, but not in the way we understand it or I understand it today. At that time I really had no idea that my mind needed healing, as I really had not begun studying and understanding the truth. When I first started to learn about purification from A Course in Miracles a year later, I remembered Tom's book. Both A Course in Miracles and Tom's book addressed looking at our fears. As I continued my spiritual journey and joined Awakening Together, and then eventually took MPP, or the Minister's Preparation Program, and particularly that first class called True Discernment, I continued learning even more. Later, I will come back to one of the purification techniques I learned in Tom's book. And by the way, the facilitator for that True Discernment class that I took several years ago was Nikki Dobson, so it's no coincidence why I asked her to read this morning. Again, thank you, Nikki. So I chose the title for today's sharing, The Interconnectedness of Compassion, Grace, and Truth, because for me to really believe and internalize the power of any purification or mind healing process, I needed to understand the spiritual mechanics. That's what I'll call it, spiritual mechanics in play. You know, mechanics in play may sound worldly, but for me now, there is perfect logic playing out in the mind healing or purification process when I allow for and embrace compassion and grace. First, I'd just like to talk a few seconds about compassion, then true compassion, and then self-compassion. The dictionary tells us what worldly compassion is. If you use Google, the first thing that comes up regarding compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortunes of others. And by the way, I'm reading what compassion is not. And Webster says sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to fix it or alleviate it. And I looked at a third one, dictionary.com. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. that is compassion as believed and practiced in the manifest world. Now, for my favorite definition of true compassion, which I've taken from the first class in the Minister's Preparation Program, True Discernment. This is the definition that we learned back a few years ago. Love is synonymous with absolute reality. Love, or the absolute, is only aware of itself. Compassion is an extension of joy, but compassion does have awareness, of a belief of something other than love. Compassion does have an awareness of a belief of something other than love. True compassion can see the appearances of this belief, but it is not confused by them. It understands that the appearance seems real to the believer, but it sees through the appearance to absolute reality. True compassion has no fear in it. Therefore, it can look directly at any appearance or belief. That's the definition of true compassion. Obviously, differs significantly from worldly compassion. Our natural state is compassionate or true compassion. But what gets in the way of true compassion as a permanent state are the false beliefs that we hold in our mind. Just the understanding of true compassion can be called on to assist us in any purification process we choose. Why? Because when we understand the concept of true compassion, even if it's just intellectually, not only can we apply it to others, but we can be truly compassionate with ourselves. Truly compassionate with ourselves. That's so important. How? By knowing the truth of our true self and not judging ourselves for the false beliefs that we have been conditioned with. True compassion helps us heal that which is false, even if we're not totally healed. It accesses the willingness to be truly compassionate of self to assist in the healing process. What is it that assists willingness to accept true compassion of self when others? I think it's grace. Grace is the unseen movement of love upon the manifest world. Grace's movement is motivated by love and indistinct from love. You can no more separate love from grace than take the wave out of the ocean. Grace eases the way and directions we are meant to go. Grace gives us the inner wisdom that tells us which way to go, to follow willingness. It is our willingness. Willingness is an aspect of grace. Grace and true compassion are aspects of love, aspects of the absolute, present in our willingness to heal the false and see the truth in any purification process. Therefore, the understanding of true compassion and grace for me amplifies the healing energy that transforms the false beliefs of my limited self, eventually revealing my natural, true self. Internalizing and embracing the understanding of true compassion and grace are like using jet fuel, as opposed to gasoline, as the energy to power the engine of purification. In the Minister's Preparation Program, we learned about five methods of purification. And if you're part of the Gentle Healing group, you've probably heard these before, but I'm going to just quickly review them. The first one is sudden realization, which is very rare, and you probably heard the Eckhart Tolle story about how he moved from depression to realization overnight. That's what you would call sudden realization. The next one is allowance and non-reaction. What most of you know, and the most of us know, is rest, accept, and trust, or let all things be as they are. This is what Nikki read about in the reading from 2 Timothy, and what I'm going to come back to later, an aspect of allowance and non-reaction. Inquiry. Most of you, I'm sure, have heard Regine and others talk about and explain root cause inquiry and other methods of inquiry. I'm not going to talk about those here. And deep devotion or full surrender, like devotion to a guru or your inner self or higher self, this deep devotion and full surrender can lead to purification of false beliefs and ideas. And detached observation and watching is the fifth one. This is where you no longer have a strong personal experience. Purification continues from the observer state. I think of this as meditation, or better said, a permanent meditation, a permanent state of meditation that one is experiencing in the world. And this is just a little commercial for meditation. This is why meditation is so valuable. It can eventually lead to an ongoing state of observing and witnessing, and helps tremendously in what we're going to be talking about in a bit, allowance, an aspect, I'll say, of allowance and non-reaction. Now, I want to go back to the second method I mentioned, allowance and non-reaction, and I would like to read again a couple of important sentences from 2 Timothy chapter 2, because what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to weave what we've read in NTI, and I got a couple other things we're going to read in a second, and this new process that I'm going to introduce to you, because they are like hand in glove for me. Chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 2 and 3 and the remembrance of Tom Stone's book is what inspired me to share this message, because I really wanted to pass this method along. All right. NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a couple of sentences. It is through fear that you are purified. Do not shy away from fear. It is through fear that you realize your own shine or truth. Because it is through experiencing fear and releasing fear that you learn fear has no hold on you. The unlimited cannot be limited by fear. And then chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the feelings within you are not to be hidden. As you hide your feelings from yourself, you are confused as to who you are. I have told you that it is time to look at who you are not. We do this for only one purpose, to realize who you are. Know thyself. Do not be afraid of the feelings you find within. They do not define you. They are not who you are. They are who you are not. By looking at them and experiencing them, and not fearing them, you may release them by looking at them and experiencing them and not fearing them. You may release them. Okay, now it's time to take a look at Tom Stone's method of purification. As I explained earlier, I ran across this method in one of his earliest books called, Vaporize Your Anxiety. And then he has since then, these methods have been so successful that he has published numerous other books. And one of my favorites is titled, Live the Continuous Experience of Wholeness. Live the Continuous Experience of Wholeness, New Techniques for Experiencing Pure Awareness All the Time. And later on, I'll paste this on the board in case any of you are interested. He speaks of several purification processes, although he does not use the term purification process at all. He calls his technique the CORE technique, and it's an acronym. CORE is an acronym for the Center of Remaining Energy. Center of Remaining Energy. And this is the process that we're going to talk about. It is a technique for completing incomplete experiences. Incomplete, emotionally painful and traumatic experiences that have been with us since childhood and we don't want to remember or deal with. It's exactly what I just read from 2 Timothy. By looking at them and experiencing them and not fearing them, you may release them. As we all know, we are deeply conditioned to move away from the intensity of the energy of our emotions. And when we do that, energy gets buried or repressed and is held in the body and subconscious and becomes a block to pure awareness or love's presence. This technique, the CORE technique, is a technique for completing these incomplete, emotionally painful experiences from the past. It simply removes the stored emotional energy from the body. Now, before I explain how it works, I'm going to go back to NTI and read from Philippians chapter 2, because I just see, as I said earlier, a tremendous correlation between what I'm reading and Tom's technique. So, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to try and keep this as short as possible and read the most significant sentences. But in verses 5 through 11, in chapter 2, Philippians, sentence 3, see the body as not you. See it merely as evidence of thought or energy. And that's my word. Thought is energy that is in your mind. See it as evidence of thought that is in your mind. See it as a learning device and nothing else. Okay, now down to verses 14 through 18. I'm just going to read a few sentences here. Sentence 3. I tell you, the body that you observe is not you. It is merely an expression of your thought. You are not the process of creation. You are the process of creation that is God. You are mind and spirit that is not in the world. Separate yourself from the body in order to observe it. Observe it in order to learn what you want to learn about yourself. And that's using, as I see it, using self-compassion. When you observe the body with the purpose of learning, you do not observe alone. you do not observe alone. The one who knows you and teaches you observes with you, so you may learn. Call on this one and ask him your questions. He will lead you to find answers, for his purpose is the same as yours. I see that as grace in action. Grace in action in the manifest world. And then sentence 19, and I'm reading from verses 19 to 24, sentence 19. And now go deeper. Dive below those feelings you have found. Ask, what else is there for you to see? You may seem to come to a very personal feeling. It may seem strong, like a wall. This feeling tells you that you are what you are not. So do not pause to listen to it. Ask the wall to open like a door. Tell it you've come to hear the truth. As the wall opens, pass through, willing to discover what was hidden. As you pass through, you will notice that you feel lighter, as if heavy burdens have been lifted from you. Continue walking and notice the joy. It's a feeling that feels natural and light. Then stand quietly within the room you have entered. Ask all that is there to come and show itself to you. What you experience now, bathed within the light, is the truth at the level of heart. This is who you are. And you'll soon see, once I share the core technique, how this so lines up with what I just read. And lastly, see the body as a tool that tries to give meaning to your feelings. If you feel guilt, it finds a scenario that seems to create the guilt. But the guilt was already in the mind. As you see the body, do these things. Remember who you are. Self-compassion. Remember who you are. You are looking at the reflection of thoughts in your mind. Okay. Now, back to the core technique. Because we tend to resist the energy of experiencing traumatic experiences fully, we accumulate the unresolved emotional energy patterns, and they're held in our body. If you like, you can picture the energy pattern like a hurricane. Picture looking at a swirling hurricane, except from the top. And if you look at a hurricane from the top, you'll see the swirling energy, and you'll see the eye. This energy is what forms a block, that forms a wall between us and the experience of pure awareness. This energy that we've stored in our bodies and in our subconscious mind is what forms the block, and it forms a wall, and that's what keeps us from experiencing pure awareness, which is what is always there, what's behind the wall. So if you're participating in the Gentle Healing Group, you have knowingly experienced pure awareness by practicing awareness, watching awareness. If not, if you're not part of that, and that's something new to you, you can review week 20 or lesson 189 in the Gentle Healing tip section. And you might want to review it anyway on the Awakening Together website. So that's week 20 or lesson 189 or both on the website. And it's where Regina and Michael Langford share about awareness and awareness watching awareness. Now, anyway, back to allowance and non-reaction, the second purification process that I mentioned that we learned about in True Discernment. We're going to take that process and add a few steps to it. Now, don't misunderstand me. That the allowance and non-reaction are a wonderful purification method. But with true self-compassion and grace, and adding the core technique, I think we supercharge purification. We supercharge it by moving into the energy field of the residual traumatic energy. We actually dive into it. Instead of just sitting and being with it, we dive into it. We look at it and dive into it, just like I read in Philippians chapter 2 a moment ago. So, the way to access this energy field is by going into the background of silence, of awareness. Once we have access to the quiet, silent background, we ask the body, show us, and we say something like this, show me the traumatic energy of the fear of being emotionally overwhelmed. You're asking the body to show you this energy, and it will show it to you. It will show it to us. It will immediately show us where it is. The body will show us some old deep hurt or pain or ache or pressure or feeling. It might be in our solar plexus, in our belly, chest, or throat, but it's typical for it to be somewhere in the center of our body. But it could be anywhere, but it's typically in the center. Grace will use our body and guide us right to it so we can get access to this fear, this energy, and then grace will resolve it. Once we find it, it's just a matter of allowing ourselves to notice it and feel where the energy is. And the way we do that is we bring our awareness in closer to the energy field that we are allowing ourselves to feel. Now we're doing the exact opposite of what we're deeply conditioned to do. You know, we're conditioned to run away from it, and that's how it got there to begin with. We repressed that energy. So we're going to bring our awareness in much closer to this hurricane-like energy that's there. So we bring our awareness in closer to the energy field. Just having the attitude of allowing, an attitude of allowing ourselves to go there. It's an exploration to find out what's there. We just allow ourselves to bring our awareness in closer and closer to the energy field. As we get closer to the energy field, we'll notice that there's an area within the energy field where it's more condensed, more intense, more concentrated than elsewhere, and it's typically towards the center. It's like the hurricane image that I mentioned. If we get close enough, we will find it. We bring our awareness close enough to the center of the intensity of the energy so that we find the little opening at the top of that vortex, the top of the eye of the hurricane of this energy. And what we're going to do when we find the eye is dive in. Just like we read in Philippians, we dive in and fearlessly dive in and just slide right down the center of the vortex, all the way to the bottom. To slide down really means just to feel the essence of this energy. We're facing our fear, but we're feeling the essence of this energy. The center of the vortex is where the energy pattern is just starting to sprout into manifestation. Right in the center of the vortex, we're catching the experience of the energy just as it's coming into manifestation. This is the easiest way to get what the body is trying to give us, the experiential wisdom of whatever this energy is. The body wants us to get this, and this is the most efficient and effective way to be able to complete the incomplete experience that's held there, the incomplete experience that we buried, the fear that we didn't want to look at. When we find the opening at the top of the vortex, we skydive in, and you can use your imagination and do just that, or you can jump in, or you can surf in, if that is what you want to do. When I do it, I imagine doing a breaststroke right into the center of the energy, and I just keep stroking forward. But you use whatever works for you. Just go down inside the vortex and feel down into it all the way to the bottom. What will happen when you get to the bottom is you'll come out the bottom of the vortex, and you'll be in that same expansive, spacious quietness of awareness that you started with. It's the same background of silence in which this energy is occurring, awareness. By completing this exercise, we will have vaporized that block in the wall, vaporized it, and moved back to pure awareness or love's presence. It's that simple. With self-compassion, grace, and facing and moving through the energy or fear that represents a block in the wall to pure awareness, it disappears. And if it's not totally dissipated, it is weakened. And with continual practice of the core technique, with self-compassion and grace, it will be eliminated, along with additional blocks to awareness. I recommend that if you think this process might be helpful, that you purchase the book, Live the Continuous Experience of Wholeness, New Techniques for Experiencing Pure Awareness All the Time. Stone goes into much more detail than my time allows, but because this process has helped me, I wanted to share it with you. The last time I looked, you can purchase the Kindle version of it for 99 cents. What a deal, huh? So I'm going to paste this on in the board, and paste. Okay, return. So there it is. That is basically what I wanted to do, was share to you and with you let's call it enhancement to a purification process that all of us know about. So let me check the time here. It's 11:10. Where am I supposed to be at 11:10? Oh, right on time for the open meditation. And so I'm going to release the mic. Sweet dreams, can play some music while you contemplate using and allowing self-compassion and grace in any purification process that you experience. And then I think Ken will post a link for donations if you care to make one. Releasing the mic.
the judgment, and after all the fear, beyond the shoulds and shouldn'ts that I wish I couldn't hear, there's a place my thoughts and words and actions, and I just disappear. And there is only love. I cry until I shake apart, lying on the floor. No matter how God answers me, I'm always asking more. So I empty out my heart of every question till I'm sure that there is only love. It seems so simple. How do we get so far away? It's always right there, but I can't seem to make it stay right when I get it. It's like it starts to slip away till I don't remember that if I strip away the anger that I never showed you, for everything I wished that you would be and say and do, well, there's only one thing left, and that's still worth holding on to. 'Cause when I dive below the ocean of everything that went wrong, there is only love. There is only
okay, thank you, Sweet Dreams. That was beautiful. Now it's the time, if anybody has anything that they would like to share, please join the queue to talk. And I see Jay, so Jay, I'm going to release the mic for you.
But Carl, was that, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Anybody? Oh, good, Lynn. Thank you, love. Yeah. Carl, that was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Just what I needed to hear. I have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, and I often get caught up in a lot of guilt. Because the body has a lot of pain. And the doctors say that it's coming from my neurotransmitters. And what I want to do is, because I am in this healing process and the mind is really running the show here, I want to give this, I'm going to be listening to you a couple times when Ken posts this, because I thought everything that you were sharing was perfect for me and where I am, because I know that this pain can be healed, but I don't know. I don't want to have too many expectations, because the one thing the ego does like to say is that I am failing if I can't heal my body. And I'm really not the body, right? But I want to get into what the things you shared, because it was just, It was profound teaching today. And I am thrilled that I listened today to you. I'm grateful, and I will drop the mic. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. There's I got goosebumps when you said that. You know, I said to myself, if there's just one person that appreciates this, then and uses it, not only will it help heal that person, it will help heal all of us. So thank you so much. And if you get the book, it will lead you to his website, and there's all kinds of stuff there that you can read about. The book says so much more than I could possibly say. Okay, I'm going to release the mic for Christina.
Good morning. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, everybody. I don't want to make this long, but I will. I just want to thank you, because I came through the 12 steps, and that's now 35 years ago, and I didn't know anything about anything, okay, and I just got down on my knees, and I cried and prayed. And I was surrounded by love and light. And my journey started. I went through a 28-day program down in Miami, Florida. And that's how I found out what was going on. And it's 35 years ago. So that means I've been, you know, really, truly with God longer than I've been alive on this planet. So, in a body. And later on, I found the Course in Miracles through, first I read Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And then I already was working the 12 steps and with a sponsor, and that really like started to wake me up on my journey. And then I was guided to a group in Miami, Florida, led by a psychologist named Alex Bannatyne, and he had a group in his home, and it was for free and only by donation. And I went to as many, you know, groups as I could, and the step workshops, and looking at myself, and he shared with us, the only thing we need to do is to undo our fears, which the fear is false evidence appearing real. But the thing is I have to walk through the fear. And what's going on to me, I always feel the love of God within me now. And in the now, I know that I am never, ever alone. And I've never been alone. Never, ever. It's really amazing to me how way before when I could be in a crowd of thousands and felt so alone. And then as I was undoing and being guided to, and every teacher that showed up on my path, and it's happening till this day, today, that everything I need is giving to me. Everything. In any moment. And how living and practicing it just this moment, right here, right now, is so, it's just all there is, you know. And the beginning of this year, I had an experience where I just You know, I pray in the morning, meditate, and ask God. And my prayer is, you know, dear God, I just want you. I just want you. And give me some kind of sign, please, that I may understand that you hear me. Okay, because I don't understand. I just don't understand. So, you know, sitting on my couch here in the corner, and the way in my home is, anyway, there was a soft touch on my shoulder, and a voice in my right ear said, look to your right. So I looked to my right, and on the wall in my kitchen, there is a beautiful angel with a heart. And so, I mean, I just dropped to my knees, and I just started crying and praying and saying thank you and thank you. And I said, please, please stay with me so I can take a couple pictures, you know, with my little phone. And the angel stays and is always here, and I've taken so many pictures. I'm just so, so grateful that I know that we are never alone. Never, ever, ever, no matter what is going on, we are never alone. And, you know, thank you so much, because that power, that higher power of us, and we are being given, whether it be people in human form or divine form or however, but we are never alone. You know, we are all united with our Creator, all as these beautiful beings of light and love. And that's the truth, you know, by grace we live, by grace we are released. And so many fears just have disappeared. Just, I don't even know what they were about, and I don't need to know. It to me, it looked like it was weeds being pulled out of my mind by bunches, by the roots, and changed in an instant. And so I don't have to sit there and dwell in the, you know, in the mire or whatever you want to call it, because you know, we are so loved. By grace we live, and by grace we are released. So just looking at it, and we're never alone. Thank you, Jay. Thank you so much, Carl, Sharon, and all. Thanks. I'm gonna drop the mic.
Jay, I see you in the queue. Would you like to take the mic?
Hey, can everybody hear me? I'm just grabbing. Thank you, Christina. That was beautiful. And Carl, that was very interesting that you would choose 2 Timothy 2 this morning to speak about. Very interesting. Strongly on my mind, pretty much for the whole last half of yesterday, I was deeply contemplating that very teaching. 2 Timothy 2, facing your fears and not being destroyed. Now, recently I experienced, I think I've shared this with you guys recently, a hurt. It was a seeming attack that came from a person that I wasn't expecting it from at that moment, and in a way I wasn't prepared for. So my guard was down, right? And so what I experienced is it went in, and it triggered something in me. It triggered a hurt. Now, what I chose to do with it is very similar to what you hear Carl describing, what he's done with his brushstrokes, swimming through the energy of that. I chose to be with it and enter into it and feel what it had to show me, without suppressing it, and also without judging myself for feeling it. Now, you know, Carl didn't touch on this, but I know whenever you do that, whether it's hurt or anger or something, you know, that you're going through, that all ultimately, if you do the root cause inquiry, brings you back to those core fears that you sinned against God, et cetera, which is impossible, that you are unworthy. The I am bad thought, as Regina calls it. It all boils back to that. If you do the work of the root cause inquiry that is taught in the true discernment course that Carl mentioned. And thank you for mentioning that, Carl. It is unpleasant. Make no mistake about it. It takes a degree of courage and willingness to go into that, because the mind and the ego have built their entire identity on getting you to avoid dealing with that. When I say dealing with it, I mean doing what exactly Carl was describing and what 2 Timothy 2 teaches about going into it. The eye of the storm, as Carl wonderfully described it. The beautiful thing is, and how it relates again, to repeat what Carl said, the symbol of the resurrection is that you can go through it and realize that you don't die. That's what you realize. Now, I've done this before at different times when it's come up, but I think my skill at being able to do it is higher. Because why? My willingness is higher. I want peace and awakening and love and joy and being in that moment more than I want to keep whatever that was in my mind. I just simply want it more. And it's horribly unpleasant. Every fiber of your ego and mind wants you to take an action in the world to try to, you know, do something about this thing that occurred that you think that's coming up, right? To avoid doing the very thing of going through it. And of course, out the other side, of course, I realized I didn't die. I'm still here. But what's different about me through this experience of walking through this storm was this experience this time with this recent hurt that I truly did a great job of going into, probably better than I ever have, of really letting myself feel, you know. And Carl talked really well about how it gets more intense, more intense, more intense, and then the pain just keeps crescendoing, you know. And there's a willingness to just truly walk through. And if you read other sections of the Bible, it talks about going through the eye of the needle. That's really another good analogy to think about as you're going through this. And you throw yourself into the willingness with the help of Christ, with the help of God, with the help of Jesus right there with you. It has to be, you can't do it alone. You have to surrender and be with that love as this goes through and be helped through it, because it's not, you realize you're not alone, right? You realize you're with everything and with everyone. You have to do this. That's an individual thing you have to do to be willing to do. Like later teachings, you are the leader of your own salvation. This is up to you to do sort of gut up and do this. But the reward, as Carl has described, and as I'm going to just echo, is so immense and so awesome. I feel so much more able right now to stand in the center of a storm and just keep my peace. And actually able to practice that, looking on curiously as someone would berate you or attack you, and really just not react to it, not even feel a reaction to it. Like, I don't think I've ever been in a place where I would even be able to do that. And then to actually be in a state of love and let it pass and then just continue on. Like, I realized too that the only way to do that is 2 Timothy 2. The teaching of the resurrection, to go through the fear and come out and realize you're not killed and you're not destroyed. But it is counterintuitive to the ego and to the mind. You know, every fiber of the mind is not wanting you to do this thing, not wanting you to learn the lesson of the resurrection. I had a really interesting dream last night that was a really interesting symbol of going to the sun. And I was actually able to be on the sun in my dream. And there was others there, but they were just light with just little definitions of light around them. And I wasn't afraid, and I wasn't killed, and I wasn't destroyed. I was, in fact, had this great feeling of joy. Like, oh, I don't die if I go into the sun. Like, being surrounded by the true light of self is not a death at all. You know, it's truly the second, it's being born again, you could call it, but you know, that's not to go back to a Christian cliche, but that's really what it is you sort of realize you are alive, you know, and you're not dead. In fact, life is more enhanced, right? So thank you, Carl, for that interesting timely 2 Timothy 2, because that's what I was deeply conscious of most of the last half of yesterday, and just in the last week too. So perfect and amazing, and thank everyone else for sharing too. Bye-bye.
Well, it looks like we're at the end of our time, so I just want to thank everyone for being here, and thank you for your shares. Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
All my life, been running from a pain in me, a feeling I don't understand is holding me down. So rain on me, underwater, all I am, getting harder, a heavy weight I carry around. Today, I don't have to fall apart, I don't have to be afraid, I don't have to let the damage consume me, my shadow see through me, cause feeling itself.
ask for more. If you're bitter still, asking to help you carry on.